All right, Alexander, we have got big news from the Ghislaine Maxwell arraignment. Let me just read you the tweet. It's from Jennifer Taub, who is an attorney at law, by the way. And she's been following the case. She's been live tweeting it. And here is her latest tweet. Boom. Judge Nathan denies Ghislaine Maxwell bail. She faces up to 35 years in prison, poses a substantial actual risk of flight risk. Rules government met its burden. No combination of conditions imposed by government would be sufficient to assure her future court appearance. All right, Alexander from the AP as well. As the case was rolling on during the day, it said Maxwell pleads not guilty in Epstein-related sex abuse case. So she pled not guilty. In court papers, Maxwell's lawyers argued that Epstein's death left the media, and I quote, wrongly trying to substitute her for Epstein, even though she'd had no contact with Epstein for more than a decade, had never been charged with a crime or been found liable in any civil litigation, and has always denied any allegations of claimed misconduct. Now, another quote from the trial, the defendant has not only the motive to flee, but the means to do so swiftly and effectively, prosecutors wrote, citing her access to millions of dollars and the scant information about her finances provided by her lawyers. Maxwell's lawyers have said she vigorously denies the charges, intends to fight them, and is entitled to the presumption of innocence. Alexander, also the alleged victims, also spoke during the proceedings today as well. So the court got to hear from many of the alleged victims, I have to say for now, of Ghislaine Maxwell. We also have a court date set from exactly 1 year as of today, I believe the 12th, almost 1 year of today, the 12th of July, 2021 is when the trial will be taking place. Your thoughts, Alexander, break it down. I'm sure a lot of people are waiting for your analysis as to what we've just heard.
Well, this is entirely the correct decision. I mean, it would have been bizarre and frankly alarming if there had been any other sort of decision. There's only one point that the defense lawyers made, which I think is valid and which we do need to hold on to, which is that Ghislaine Maxwell, whatever we may think of her, is entitled to the presumption of innocence. She vigorously denies the charges, which we've seen the indictment. I, for various reasons, think this is going to be an incredibly difficult defense to mount. And of course, this claim that she's been out of contact with Epstein for 10 years is, it seems to me, neither here nor there, because even if that is true, and there are reasons to doubt it, which I will come to in a moment, reasons which Ghislaine herself has caused, which, you know, mean that I have to say I am very skeptical of it. Even if it were true, there is ample history from witnesses that she was deeply involved in all of Epstein's activities, and to such a degree, in fact, that it's difficult not to think that there is a very, very strong case against her, which she's going to have struggles with defending against. So those are the first two points. Now, let's get to the question of bail. Most people, when they're charged, have a right to bail. They have a right not to be put in jail, not to be held in custody. But there are occasions when the court is entitled to refuse bail. And this, it seems to me, is a classic one. Ghislaine Maxwell has hid herself ever since her alleged co-conspirator, Epstein, was arrested. She didn't come forward. She didn't hand herself over to the authorities. She didn't make herself available for questioning. She disappeared. So she was on the run. Apparently, when the FBI came to arrest her, she actually ran around her house trying to evade them. So, you know, already that shows that she is a flight risk. She's not someone who is prepared to just hand themselves over.
On a quick note of what you just said, Alexander, because I have the article in front of me from Zira Hedge, just as a quick note of what you said, supposedly she had a safe room, according to a Monday court filing. Ghislaine Maxwell bolted to another room when FBI agents showed up to her secluded New Hampshire estate to arrest the accused sex trafficker. When agents entered, they found a cell phone wrapped in tinfoil sitting on a desk in what prosecutors described as, quote, misguided effort to evade detection, not by the press or public, which of course would have no ability to trace her phone or intercept her communications, but by law enforcement, continue Alexander. It just goes out to what you just said.
She also had bodyguards. She also had all sorts of people, apparently ex-British soldiers, guarding her, protecting her. She has multiple citizenships. She has at least three passports, one of which is a French passport. And there have been rumors that have placed her in France. And France, as we know, does not extradite its citizens. So there's always a risk that she might escape to France. How could she escape to France? Well, she bought a place that was 2 hours drive from the Canadian border. Canada has close connections to France. It might have been that her hope was that when the noise dies down, she would be able to cross the border, go through Canada, and end up in France. So that there is clearly evidence of an escape plan. That's one. Secondly, the sureties that she was providing in a case where, frankly, I think the idea of sureties of putting up bail money is absurd anyway because of the gravity of the crimes and of the nature of the risks that she might flee. But the sureties, the bail money she was offering to put up, $5 million. In itself, I would have thought was an alarming sign because it shows the enormous resources this person can call upon. And we've heard from the government that she's not disclosing the entirety of her resources, which are at least $20 million. Also, note that she's offering to secure that $5 million against properties in the United Kingdom, against sureties against people who come forward who are not American citizens and not in the United States. So if she did flee, she did escape, she did disappear, it'd be very, very difficult, actually, for the government to collect on all this money that was being put forward by way of surety for bail. But overall, there is another thing, and this is what I want to touch on. We're probably going to do a proper program on this, but she says that she had no close or intimate connection contact with Epstein for 10 years. And yet, we have now learned that she has a civil case against Epstein's estate because she complains that he was not financially looking after her. Now, I find that a very bizarre case for various reasons. A person that was, worth at least $20 million or pounds or whatever it is, why do they need to be supported by Jeffrey Epstein? But regardless of that, that does not suggest to me someone who was not in some kind of connect contact with Jeffrey Epstein. That's just purely my point. But I would have thought the one is so much in contradiction of the other that if you're going to persuade me that there really was no communication between them, you would need some very good explanations, which I haven't heard, because the one seems to me to make no sense. The court case makes no sense if they were not actually in some kind of contact. So I think that the bail, the refusal of bail, was absolutely the right decision. It would have been extraordinary if any other decision had been made, given the prominence of this case, given the risk that this person was a flight risk, given the lack of cooperation, given the fact that she'd been hiding from the authorities for so long, ever since Jeffrey Epstein was arrested, given the allegations which have been made against her, which are so serious. And seriousness of allegations, by the way, is a factor in deciding whether or not to refuse bail. So it would have been extraordinary, completely bizarre, if she had been granted bail. And thankfully and properly and rightly, she has been refused bail. The only thing I will say, there's two things I will say. Firstly, I understand that this prison that she's been sent to is an absolutely squalid place, infested with illnesses, dangerous people there. As I said before, we absolutely need Ghislaine Maxwell to have a proper trial or a proper process so that we can get to the bottom of what has happened. She needs to be moved, in my opinion, to a safer place of detention. I certainly don't think she should be released, but she should not be kept in this particular prison. That's a separate question, by the way, entirely separate question from the question of bail. And the second point I'm going to make is that I would advise our viewers not to put too much weight on this point about her vigorously defending the case. Remember, if there is going to be a negotiation and a plea bargain, her lawyers have to say that. They have to insist at this stage that they're going to defend the case vigorously in order to retain some leverage. So I wouldn't put too much weight on those words either. So correct decision, entirely right decision, for all the reasons I've just said, for all the reasons which are in fact obvious, and move her to a different prison and don't put too much weight on what she says about vigorously defending the case. And I'm sorry to say this, but I'm going to say it again about her not having any contacts with Epstein for 10 years. I'm afraid I don't believe her, and her court case against his estate is inconsistent with that, or so it seems to me.
Yeah, we'll do a video on the estate part. I agree with you on that 100%. She's had contact with Epstein. I don't think there's a doubt about that, and I think we'll prove that out in one of the videos that we do. But my final question, Alexander, 1 year until trial, does that mean she is going to be in some sort of prison, whether it's this New York one or a different safe house? She'll be there for 1 year before the trial starts. Does that mean that they're now going to try to hammer out some sort of deal within that 1 year period? Does that mean that if they can't get to the deal, she's definitely going to trial? And of course, you always have the question, which I think everyone is going to be saying, is 1 year they're going to have to keep her alive.
Yes. I mean the two things, your first question and your second question are interconnected. First of all, she will be in detention right up until trial. I don't have any doubt about that. By the way, even if a deal is done, which I personally expect to see, I predict that she will remain in prison for some time after, probably for a couple of years after, given the gravity of the offences. I don't think we're looking at a plea bargain, which will simply allow her to get out of prison entirely. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that before very long, Ghislaine's lawyers will be advising her of this, if she's prepared to plead guilty to some of these offences, because realistically, these offences are so serious that there has to be a prison term, and a plea of guilty is an essential part of a plea bargain. So let's remember all of that, and let's understand that she will remain in prison. She will remain in prison until trial. Even if there's a plea bargain, she will remain in prison for some time afterwards. Maybe not as long as if she goes to court and is convicted after a long trial. Then she could be looking at decades in prison, probably the rest of her life. That is, if you like, the offer, that she will be able to leave prison and not spend the rest of her life there. But she will have a prison sentence. 1 year from now from trial, I'd say that was about normal. I'd say that gives everybody all the time they need, both for the prosecution and the defense to prepare their case, if it goes to trial, and also if they want to negotiate with each other to carry out that negotiation. I'd say that's an absolutely normal time frame. It's not too far into the future. It is, in fact, a grave infringement of someone's human rights to keep them indefinitely in prison without trial. So, you know, a year is, I think, a reasonable period of time. I don't think it will last much longer than a year. But I do expect, by the way, there will be more witnesses than we know. There will be more arrests, quite likely more arrests. And I expect that there will be a plea bargain eventually. I'm quite confident of it.
And she'll probably give up a lot of people in order to
If she's not prepared to give up a lot of people, then I don't see the point of a plea bargain, actually. I think in that case, you might as well go ahead with the trial. I mean, at least it would cost a lot of money, obviously. But I think that the people of the United States would feel extremely dissatisfied, and that's putting it mildly. And the victims, Epstein's victims, would feel extremely dissatisfied if there was a plea bargain without names being named. I think that's the obvious deal that would be done. She would act as a witness against other people who are implicated in these crimes, and in return she would get a reduced sentence by pleading to some lesser charges. That's the way it would work. I'm not generally in favor of plea bargains. In fact, I loathe them, and I think they've done immense damage to the American justice system. But in this unusual case, given the extraordinary circumstances, I think it would be the right way.
All right, let's sign off. Alexander, I have to ask one final question, which is always, I think it's not everyone's mind, but it really is on my mind. What if something happens? What will that mean for the United States, the U.S. justice system, the entire world, everybody watching this? What if something happens there? We have 1 year. 1 year, can they keep her safe? They have to keep her safe.
You asked that question.
Alive, what I mean safe, alive.
Apologies, I missed it. It is essential that they keep her safe. And it is essential that she is alive and well, both for her own sake, obviously, but principally for the sake of her victims, so that they can either be a proper plea bargain of the kind I've discussed, or a proper trial, as we've also discussed. If anything happens to her in the meantime, I think it would be a catastrophe. I think it would reinforce the beliefs of some people in the United States that they can get away with anything.
A lot of people. A lot of people.
A lot of people that they can get away with anything. And I think last but not least, I think a lot of people in the United States would lose confidence in the justice system. So it is very much now for the justice system of the United States to keep her alive and in physically well until the day comes when she's ready for trial.
Yeah. The world's going to explode if something happens.
I agree.
All right. We'll leave it there. We'll continue to follow the story, and we'll get another video up as to what you mentioned with the finances and the case that she has against Epstein. As well, Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on that like button. Click on that subscribe. Drop us a comment down below. Please donate to us on PayPal, Subscribestar, and Patreon. Go to the Durant shop and also pick up some merchandise. I'm still waiting for my new magic mugs. Alexander, you're traveling and you don't have your magic mugs with you. So just real quick, 30 seconds, a real quick plug.
Briefly, guys, I'm in Prague on a business trip and I dare not risk my magic mugs on a trip like this, where I'm traveling light with hand luggage. But they are amazing magic mugs, the best in the world. We have a wonderful new line of them, with lots of flags of different countries, including Britain, the United States, Canada, Australia. They're all there, Greece too. You can go to our shop, the best mugs in the world. You can probably find, in many cases, your own flag there. And if not, you can suggest it to us. The best mugs in the world, go to our shop and you will find them there. You will also find our amazing shirts. Those, of course, I was not going to leave behind. And I'm wearing one at the moment, which I have been wearing earlier in the day. It's a long-sleeved Durant T-shirt, which I went to at one of the meetings I had to attend to during this trip. And so we have long-sleeved T-shirts, short-sleeved, V-necked shirts, tank tops, And of course, our amazing and spectacular and wonderful polo shirts, all beautifully made, all 100% cotton, all amazingly hard wearing and all fantastic. You will find them in our shop with our mugs. Also, you'll find hats, hoodies and stickers. You'll find an expanding gallery of ebooks, and you will also find new products which we are sending to the shop, which Alex has been carefully organizing. So come to our shop, buy these great things, support the Duran. Alex will briefly tell you how.
Just go to the Duran shop. You'll find a link underneath this video, theduranshop.com. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.